Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about two new smartphones from Samsung, which has launched budget phones of all things. These phones are called the Samsung Galaxy M10 and the Samsung Galaxy M20. Now we have two people with us who are reviewing these phones. First is our resident audio enthusiast, Ali Pardiwala.
Hey Pranay.
He's reviewing the Samsung Galaxy M10, which is the cheaper of these two phones. And we also have reviews editor Jamshed Awari with us.
Hey.
How are you doing after a bit of a break on the podcast?
Well, CES isn't really considered a break.
All right, so he's reviewing the Samsung Galaxy M20. Now, before we begin talking about these two phones, I'll just give a quick brief on what these two phones are about. So the Samsung Galaxy M10 and M20 appear to be Samsung's bid to take on the competition in the budget segment, where companies such as Xiaomi and Asus and even Realme have sort of captured the market thanks to aggressively priced phones. Now, the Samsung Galaxy M10 and M20 are due to launch shortly after we finish recording this podcast, but our sources have sort of revealed the price for us. If these are maybe slightly incorrect, we apologize in advance, but our sources are pretty solid and, you know, we are about 90% certain that these prices are correct. So the Samsung Galaxy M10 is most likely to launch in two variants, 2GB RAM and 16GB of storage at 7990. And 3GB RAM and 32GB of storage at 8990, so which means 8,000 and 9,000 rupees. Ali has been reviewing the 3GB RAM and 32GB storage variant, whereas the Samsung Galaxy M20 is scheduled to launch in sometime in two variants, 3GB RAM, 32GB storage at 10,990 rupees, and 4GB RAM, 64GB storage at 12,990 rupees. Now, Jamshed has been reviewing the 4GB RAM and 64GB storage variants.
Yeah.
So, in both these cases, we are reviewing the higher-end variants of these two phones. Now, they also have something that we've not seen in a Samsung phone ever, I think, a notch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they've gone with the all-screen design, which has so far been seen only in phones from Oppo and Vivo and some other manufacturers which operate primarily in the budget segment. So, this is, I guess, Samsung finally reacting to the competition here and putting out a couple of phones in this price range. Are these any good? Well, we have two experts here to talk about that, don't we? So first, let's talk about the more affordable one. Ali, do you want to maybe give a brief on like how your experience with the Samsung Galaxy M10 has been? What are the key specifications that people should know about?
Okay, so the Samsung Galaxy M10 is, like you mentioned, the more affordable of the two phones. According to our sources, it's priced from ₹7,990 onwards with a price tag of 8,990 for the higher variant, which is the one that I'm reviewing, with 3GB of RAM and 32GB of storage. Apart from that, it comes with a 3,400mAh battery. It also has a dual camera setup at the rear, a 5MP front camera. And the most important feature on it is, of course, its notched screen, which is essentially a way to say that it's got a screen that stretches as far as possible on all sides, with just a small little notch for the front camera.
Okay, so the issue I see here is that Samsung's probably like following someone else's trends now, which is okay. I mean, as long as they execute it right. Now, in this budget, in the sub 10,000 rupee budget, what we've seen quite often is that there are some phones that are really good, and then there are other phones that, you know, are, well, just strictly average. Now, we've seen some phones with great battery life, but the display is really poor. We've seen some phones that, you know, just can't perform very well at all. So now, have we seen good performance with the Galaxy M10? Can it, like, offer maybe a decent level of performance that we see from phones such as the Asus Zenfone Max M2 and maybe even the Xiaomi Redmi 6?
So I've been using the Samsung Galaxy M10 for a few days now, and I wasn't very impressed with its performance. For one thing, it runs a dated chipset. It runs on the Exynos 7870, which I believe the first time I saw it in a device is back in 2016. So we're looking at a chipset that is nearly 3 years old right now. It's not a very good chipset in 2019. And as a result, I didn't get very good performance out of the phone. I'm sure we will get better performance from competing devices purely on the basis of them having better chipsets.
Okay, and you know, usually what we see is that with these phones that, you know, don't have the greatest of displays out there, the battery life is pretty good. So first, I'd like to hear your thoughts on the display, since it's not exactly a full HD screen, and then maybe the battery life.
So yeah, the Samsung Galaxy M10 does have an HD plus resolution screen. This is a 6.2-ish inch screen by the diagonal, and it has an HD plus resolution, which is 720 pixels on the narrow side and about 1520 pixels on the tall side. So this is a low resolution display. And as you mentioned, as a result, it's got battery life that is very good because it doesn't take a lot of power to run a low resolution display. And that too, while also running a dated chipset.
Okay, so can you play PUBG Mobile on this one?
You can play PUBG Mobile. It's just not going to be a very good experience.
Okay. And finally, any thoughts on the build quality of this phone?
So given the price, I'm not unhappy with the build quality. It's got a plastic-ish, polycarbonate-ish build. And it looks good. The phone looks good from the front, from the back. It's a decent-looking phone. And while it is not necessarily the strongest material for the build, it's still built fairly well. It's built like a Samsung phone, and Samsung phones are usually built very well.
Okay, so another thing I noticed was that like the Galaxy M10 doesn't seem to have any kind of a fingerprint scanner to unlock the device. Is this a problem, or like, are you okay with it?
So some competing devices might come with a fingerprint scanner, and having one of these is always a good thing. But then at the same time, the phone does have face unlock. So if you want some level of biometric authentication, then sure, the Samsung Galaxy M10 comes with face unlock, and you can always use your PIN at the same time. But even the face unlock I found a little bit slow. So I would suggest, if you are getting one of these, maybe it's just stick to no security or just PIN security.
Okay, then. Do both these phones use the same software, like Android version and whatever the UI is called now? Is it Samsung One UI or Smart Experiences UI?
So it's the Samsung Experience UI, which is running on top of Android 8.1 Oreo, which, again, it's dated software. But hopefully Samsung will issue a software update soon and get these phones up to the latest version.
So you did mention that the experience was a bit, laggy and all that. So like, was that because of the hardware or because of the OS that it's running?
Mostly because of the hardware, but also to a small extent because of the software. Samsung Experience UI isn't the lightest or the most efficient of user interfaces out there. It's not a bad user interface, but it's not one of the best either. But primarily, it's because of the hardware.
Okay, so Jamshed, on the M20, what Android version is it running and what software?
Also 8.1 with the Samsung Experience 9.5.
Okay then, okay. So one last question for you, Ali, is this device competes with some rather strong opponents. Would you be comfortable recommending it, maybe the higher variant? You know, because the base variant, I think 2GB RAM is going to be a bottleneck, whichever way you try to spin it. And the way I see it, the Redmi 6A with 2GB of RAM and 32GB storage is available at, I think, 7,000. And same 16GB storage variant is available at 6,000. And the Realme C1 with 2GB RAM and 16GB storage, whenever it goes on sale, is available at around 7,500 rupees. So, you know, those cheaper phones will probably, sell more than this one because of the performance issues you mentioned. Now, the higher end variant, what do you think? Like, does it stand a chance in the market?
So, yeah, I'd say if you're going to buy a Samsung Galaxy M10, you should be buying the higher variant for 9,000 rupees. You want at least 32GB of internal storage, and you also want at least 3GB of RAM, which is what I would say the bare necessities at this point. So, if you are bent on buying one of these, yeah, you should be buying the higher end variant. But having said that, the Samsung Galaxy M10 is strictly for Samsung fans.
Not for others. Okay, and lastly, thoughts on the camera of this one?
So it comes with a dual camera setup at the back, which has a 13 megapixel primary sensor and a 5 megapixel secondary sensor. Now, the secondary sensor is an ultra wide angle sensor. The camera is an ultra-wide-angle camera, which allows you to take ultra-wide shots. Now there's a little bit of warping at the edges of these shots, as is the case with any ultra-wide shots. But it's a good feature to have. It lets you take wider shots, especially when you're taking landscapes over a distance. You will be able to capture a little bit more in the frame.
Okay, and what about the picture quality? Were you, like, for the budget, you know, were you okay with it?
For the price, yeah, the picture quality is all right. It's not that great, but then again, considering that this phone costs under 10,000 rupees for both of its variants, or we're expecting it to cost under 10,000 rupees for both of its variants, it's not a bad camera.
Okay then. All right. So let's move on to the Samsung Galaxy M20 now.
Mm-hmm.
So Jamshed, first maybe we can talk about, you know, the specifications, since I believe this has a new chip. And yeah, also, I can already see a fingerprint sensor at the back on this phone. And this one has a USB Type-C port for charging, unlike the Galaxy M10, which has a micro USB port.
Yeah.
So three changes I can notice right off the bat.
Yeah. So as you said, those are some relatively minor changes. But overall, if you look at these two phones, you'd be, you know, very hard-pressed to tell them apart. The main difference is that the chin on the M10 is slightly thicker than the one on the M20. And this has a point, the screen on the M20 is 0.2 centimeters bigger. So that's like 6.3 inches versus about 6.2 on that. But otherwise, from the front, both of them, you know, look very generic in this day and age. They look like any phone from any manufacturer, with the same rounded corners, the same water drop notch. On the inside, as you said, yes, there's a brand new processor, the Exynos 7904. So there is actually no real frame of reference for this one. We can talk about the benchmark tests and results and see how it ranks with Samsung's own older chips and with the competition out there. But I think we'll make you wait for our full review to read that.
Yeah, so that's going to take a bit of time, because what happens is when we get devices ahead of the launch date, quite often all benchmark apps are sort of disabled. You can't install them off the Play Store. And even if you manage to install these, somehow running benchmarks is a bit complicated because they are, you know, blocked on that particular device. So with this one, since it's a new chipset, well, yeah, that had to happen. But our, you know, soon we'll have like these results, and the full review will be up on gadgets360.com after that. So Jamshed, the display, your thoughts on that?
So it's 6.3 inches corner to corner, and this one has a full HD resolution as opposed to the M10 with just the HD resolution. And you know what? It's not too bad. It's not bad at all, in fact, I would say.
Hmm.
It's fairly crisp. It's quite bright. It's a lot brighter than the one on the M10. If you hold them side by side, you'll notice that immediately. And it holds up fairly well for day-to-day use. Now, if you're distracted by notches, particularly the sort of water drop notch with its big, you know, rounded protrusion, as it was. That could take a bit of getting used to.
Okay, now, what I really want to know here is that, see, the pricing of this is at 10,990 for the 3GB RAM and 32GB storage variant, according to our sources. And for the variant you're reviewing, 4GB RAM, 64GB storage, it's 12,990. Now, you know, have you, like, in terms of performance and all, do you think that it's as good as, you know, the other phones in this price bracket? Now, namely, some you've reviewed already, mm-hmm. Such as the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1 and some that, you know, other people in our team have reviewed. Now, that probably would be the Nokia 5.1 Plus.
Keeping in mind that we generally tend to receive the entry-level versions of all these phones for review rather than the premium one which Samsung has sent right now. So that obviously changes exactly what competition you should frame an answer like that in terms of, because there's a different model every 1,000 rupees, and there are variants of each of these models, and there's so much overlap that it really becomes difficult to sort through all of them. But what I will say is that this phone has been just a little bit sluggish. It's not the super crisp experience that we've had. And of course, another difference to take into account is that some of these phones, particularly the ones that Asus puts out at this price level, all have stock Android rather than the custom UIs that we've seen from other manufacturers. And Samsung's custom UI is quite heavy. Now, the first thing that I had to deal with when turning this phone on was, frankly, advertisements. They're there on the lock screen. As soon as we connected to the internet, like 5 or 6 notifications immediately popped up in the notification shade, and they keep on coming.
What kind of ads do you see there?
Oh, complete rubbish. cricket. I can read these out right now. Neha Kakkar's voice, heart emoji, to soothe your evening. Movie Bajirao Mastani, an epic saga of love and sacrifice.
Wow.
Yeah. To be best-selling fair, some of offers these are selected ads. For you.
Some of these are, news stories.
Hmm.
I mean, I get them too on the Samsung Galaxy M10. And some of these are news stories, yeah. But yeah, there are a lot of ads as well.
Neha Kakkar's voice to soothe your evening is hardly what I would say consider news. There's a device maintenance pop-up for an app power monitor. There's 100 GB of free storage from OneDrive. Okay, you might say that's useful and that'll come up only in the beginning. Storage booster, 20 rarely used apps. And these are just the notifications that I'm reading out right now, yeah? So these are just the ones that I've received in the past few hours because I keep clearing these. So that was annoying. The home screen ads can be disabled. That was also annoying just to figure that out.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly their competition is Xiaomi then. They are like taking a lot of inspiration from these guys also on the advertisement front then.
I mean, Samsung's never been very light-handed when it comes to this sort of behavior. We've seen it before and we've criticized it before. But it's particularly disappointing here because this was an opportunity for the company to sort of reset and refresh itself.
Yeah, it's actually pretty disappointing to hear that even the, you know, premium phone that you have among these two phones
is, relatively, yes.
Yeah, is also, you know, sluggish in terms of performance and has ads. That is something...
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that I wouldn't have liked to see at all on this, considering what we get from the competition, mm-hmm. which is at least, you know, if you're like getting a sluggish experience right at the time of launch, I wonder what will happen, like, you know, after people use this phone for 6 months to 8 months or whatever time.
Yeah. It's also got a 5,000 mAh battery as opposed to 3,400 in the M10. So it's actually a fair bit thicker and heavier. This is a phone that you'll definitely feel when you've got it in your hand for a long time. But all of that said, on the plus side, at this price point of 12,990, which we're going with right now, you get 4GB of RAM and 64GB of storage, which is more than what quite a few of the competitors out there offer. You usually see 332 at this price level. Mm-hmm. Notable exception being the Xiaomi Redmi Note 6 Pro. So Samsung's definitely targeted... this company, they've clearly gone out of the shopping list, they've checklist, they've clearly decided exactly what numbers look good on a spec sheet and what buyers are likely to make their decisions based off.
Yeah, so what I wanted to know was, since it has a 5000 milliampere hour battery, how's the battery life and also the camera performance, since, you know, again, it has a dual rear camera setup and seems like they've made space for a selfie camera on the front. So, you know, do these things work as advertised or what?
So the battery so far is pretty impressive. Just using this phone normally and playing a bunch of games and taking photos and a little bit of video recording throughout the day, starting at roughly 8 in the morning, pulling it off the charger at that time, I'm down to somewhere in the low 80s right now.
Okay.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, and not bad is like a very gentle way to put it. So.
Yeah, and as for the cameras, so far, the night performance looks good. On the phone screen itself, these photos look quite good in the daytime and at night. But night is what's worth highlighting, really, because that's where a lot of cameras tend to struggle. So what I would say is, of course, stay tuned to gadgets360.com for our full review, which will be released very, very soon. And you'll be able to see photo samples for yourself at full size. But what I'll tell you right now, as a preliminary opinion, is that photos are looking quite good.
Okay, now for both of you, I don't think we've spoken much about video performance. So are there any obvious things you notice here that people should know about, such as, you know, the lack of video stabilization or something that many phones, you know, just sort of slip in and don't mention particularly?
I think that's pretty much what you would expect at this price level.
Hmm.
I think we really have to remember that this is a sub 15,000 rupee phone. And in the case of the M10, much, much, much more affordable than even that.
So, yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on, like, the video performance? Like, do you have 4K or is it 1080p and is the performance okay? Is the phone heat up?
On the M10, video tops out at 1080p. And I took one video and I didn't really find any trouble with it. So, But I will do a little bit more testing before our full review comes out. And we'll have our details in the full review.
Okay, yeah. It's understandable because, you know, currently the testing process is ongoing after all. Okay, Jamshed, any other final thoughts you have on the M20 before we close this episode?
On paper, at least, it has the same cameras as the M10. And you do have the ultra-wide lens on the rear, but the specifications of that camera are much worse. So what I said about low light and everything, that was basically for the primary rear camera. When you switch to the secondary, you have to allow for a bit of degradation in the quality. But you also need to check which camera is active when you fire up the app, because it doesn't default back to the primary rear camera. It will, in many cases, just launch with whatever you had selected last.
Okay, Ali, final question for you, since, you know, you're our audio expert. What are your thoughts on, you know, speaker quality? And, like, did you get a chance to test the headphones which are in the box?
So, there aren't any headphones in the box, actually.
Wow.
The Samsung Galaxy M10 comes with just the charger in the box. And it does have a tiny little speaker at the back of the phone, which is adequate for basic usage. I mean, if you're watching a YouTube video and you just need to listen to a little bit, yeah, sure. If you're on a WhatsApp video call, you'll be able to hear the voice of the other person. But you will want to plug in regular headphones for most of your listening.
Okay. Jamshed, what about the M20? There's a headphones, a pair of headphones come in the box?
No, there's just the charger, the cable, although it is a 15-watt charger, which I'm sure people will be pleased to note. And Samsung does say fast charging on its website, on the Flipkart.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it's probably right not like up to any...
Yeah. It's not like certified quick charge or with one of those brands that processor makers have developed. But it does supposedly charge quite quickly with a 15-watt charger. So there's that and the respective cable, micro USB for the M10 and Type-C for the M20 and the SIM eject pin. And that's basically it. So a lot of other companies at this price level will also include like a flexible case.
Yes.
You know, just something pretty basic. And maybe that would have been nice with this as well. But no, you don't get that. You don't get the headset. And as for the speaker on this phone, it's on the bottom, whereas the one on the M10 is on the rear. So while that one might get a little muffled if you're leaving it on a bed or any soft surface, this one does better.
Okay, then. I think that's all we have for this episode of Orbital. And we'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, if you have any questions, comments or feedback, you can write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And please do us a favor by following us over at Gadgets360 on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram, and also rating our show, reviewing it and subscribing to it if you listen to it via any apps such as Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Now the full review for the Samsung Galaxy M20 and the M10 will be up on Gadgets360 pretty soon, and you know, we'll be back with one more episode next week. So yeah, keep listening.